mighty Atlantic 10 Conference.
A call's on him. 5 seconds to go. Charlotte Kloof gathers for the win. Crusher for the lead. He got it. 0.1 seconds left. Crusher nails a three for the Dayton Flyers. Lofton with his team down by two to the corner. Caputo. No good. And it's over. St. Louis is going dancing. An unlikely run to the NCAA tournament for the Billikens as they win the Atlantic 10 championship.
Welcome to the A10 Talk Podcast, presented by Get Trending Productions. And welcome back to the A10 Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Pyle, and we are joined by our two main culprits of the podcast. They are regulars now, Mr. Anthony Morelli and Daniel Frank. From all their respective schools. I'm not going to say them at this point. You probably know. Anthony, how's it going?
It's going great. We had an exciting Monday night slate. Now we are looking forward to the best time of year, March. So get the Luther Vandross version of One Shining Moment going. It's that time of the year.
Daniel, what's up, man?
I'm doing great, Chris. It's going to be a great week. I'm hoping that both Anthony and I can get down to Richmond. We'll see what happens with credentialing and all that carousel of events, but looking forward either way to a great week.
Yeah, I am pumped for this week. I've been looking forward to this week since a year ago when it got canceled. If anyone didn't know, I had joined A10 Talk last year. And I'm from Indianapolis, so I flew out, took 2 days off work, and flew out to cover the A10 tournament in Brooklyn. And I was in the building when VCU UMass canceled. And I had to hurry up, get back to JFK Airport, hurry up and get a flight back home to Indianapolis, wait in the airport for 8 hours. Also with Butler fans who were also very discouraged from the tournament being canceled at MSG. I am pumped for this, even though I won't be in Richmond. I am pumped that the NCAA tournament is in Indianapolis, and we will have to, by process of elimination at this point, crown an A10 automatic qualifier for the NCAA tournament. And no team probably deserves it, to be honest, but we do have to crown one champion, and maybe I might get to go cover them. So I'm really kind of pumped. So this week for A10 Talk, we are pulling out all the stops. We are making up for last year. So this week, including this episode, we will post a podcast recap every morning, the morning after a night of games. So whether that be the Wednesday afternoon, but we still call it the night pillow fight games. We'll do a small recap. We will do one after the Thursday games, after the Friday games, after the Saturday games. And then we will do one a week later about the Sunday games. But we will also preview that game too. So lots of podcast episodes, nothing too long. You know, we're just going to just talk a little bit about the games. Plus, possibly our very own guys here with Anthony and Daniel will be there. We don't know yet just because of a bunch of strings that have to be pulled for them to go, just because we don't know where we stand with credentials. Usually we get 4 guys that can go, and we're kind of talking with their SAD and going from there. But otherwise, lots of podcast episodes coming your way about all the games. We're going to have drawings for prizes of some vintage A10 stuff on Twitter. I'm not going to reveal what those are, but some of it's merch. Some of it's some items that you might like from way back in the old days of the Atlantic 10. So, you know, just look out for that stuff on Twitter. And also fleets, because that is a thing now. But I've honestly seen that fleets can be quite advantageous if you need to keep tweets up for a little while. So if you're on your mobile phone, check out the fleets part. We will actually be utilizing that. We will have content about each game going on every day. Everyone's going to write about the game, previews, you know, sights and sounds, just everything about what's going on with the tournament. And last but not least, yes, we will have a A10 bracket challenge going on. The rules will be coming out at, this is coming out on Tuesday. So the bracket challenge rules and regulations will come out this morning at some point. So make sure you look for that on Twitter, fleets or whatever. Our very own Michael Bergman from UMass is going to be running that. And it'll probably be some sort of cash prize, but it's not going to be something too expensive that you're pulling an arm and a leg to put a bracket in. You know, it's just something kind of cheap for fun, you know, but win a little money on the side. So I am freaking pumped about this. And now we have a bracket, gentlemen. We have a bracket. We had some crazy games happen tonight. Dayton beat St. Bonaventure in a really crazy game. We also had the St. Joseph's Hawks upset Richmond Spiders on the road. And then we kind of had a usual, or at least more expected game with St. Louis taking down UMass. And so with that, we get to our bracket. And I'm just going to read the bracket here in case you have not seen it or you might forget. The seed order goes number one, St. Bonaventure, 2 VCU, 3 Davidson, and 4 St. Louis. They earned the double bye, and I honestly don't have any discrepancies with it. All teams were very good this year, even though the seedings and all that stuff is kind of ended up being a little wonky. It ended up not kind of mattering, you know. But the rest of the seeds go 5 UMass, 6 George Mason, 7 Dayton, 8 Richmond, 9 Duquesne, 10 Rhode Island. So those are your Thursday peeps. And then 11, George Washington, 12, LaSalle, 13, St. Joseph's, and 14 is Fordham. Yes, Fordham will be there, I am told. So that will be their first game off of COVID pause. So who knows with them? But you know what? They will be there, and they will be ready to roll. So looking at this bracket, Wednesday starts LaSalle and St. Joe's and GW at Fordham. On Thursday, Richmond will play Duquesne for the right to play St. Bonaventure. UMass will play the winner of LaSalle and St. Joe's. Dayton will play Rhode Island in the afternoon. And then in the evening, Mason will play the winner of GW and Fordham. Whew, that's a lot to say, but I'm really pumped about it, so I might as well say it. So we are going to get into our picks. Now, I sent all the writers a kind of a 5-question questionnaire about the tournament, you know, and there's some different things on them. So the things that we talk about or that we made the writers answer were what their overall pick to win is, who their dark horse pick to win is, who is their pick to be upset in their first game, no matter what round, which Thursday team has the best chance to get to win. And then do they think a pillow fight team, a team from Wednesday, can get to Friday or beyond? And if so, who? So that's where you gentlemen are going to come into play for this evening. We are going to get going with our champion picks. Actually, you know what? First of all, I want to talk about what already stands out to you looking at this bracket. You know, it's a crazy year. It's a crazy bracket. There's some seeds that may not have been too deserving. Maybe some are. Maybe you think differently. I don't know. We'll start with you, Anthony. What already stands out to you looking at the bracket?
So I think anyone who has been following the conference all season long, they look and they go, how is Richmond an 8 seed? I mean, this is a team we were talking about that beat Kentucky, and we've been talking about them all season long, up and down, total roller coaster of a season, and now the bubbles popped against the great St. Joe's. Richmond is a team I'm not going to give away any of my picks or anything, but I'm just saying Richmond was a team that just popped to me and it goes, wow, this is a top four team talent wise in the conference. And I'm looking at them as an 8 seed. That just jumps out to me.
Daniel, how about you?
The biggest thing that jumps out to me is UMass is in a world of trouble. They are sputtering right now, and they get either one of the two chaos makers of the Atlantic 10 regular season in their first game, and either LaSalle or St. Joe's. So that to me is probably the most interesting part of the bracket. The other thing that pops out to me is VCU got a really tough draw here in Dayton and Rhode Island. I really don't think anyone should be sleeping on Dayton right now. I know they've been painfully inconsistent, but I think that will be a real bloodbath of a game. So I think that might be the most intriguing game of the whole tournament if we can get VCU Dayton in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I was looking at both those two. I'm kind of, you know what? The first thing I looked at, you know, I was looking at the top of the bracket, and what glares at you, like what one of you said, was UMass, right? You know, they're obviously kind of the elephant in the room a little bit with their seed number. You obviously look at St. Bonaventure, who they get, because the one seed always has a tough time with the 8 or 9, it seems. Obviously VCU, with we don't know what's going on with Bones. Plus with Rhode Island kind of having VCU's number, Dayton VCU being a big rivalry. You know, that's kind of a tough draw. But you know what? You know what's kind of weird? Davidson's kind of off in their own little corner of the bracket. Kind of seems forgotten about a little bit. They get either Mason, GW, or Fordham. Mason's not a walk in the park by any means, but early season Mason versus late season Mason, what are you going to get? And, you know, Davidson gets, you know, VCU, Dayton, or Rhode Island, teams that they've either beaten or come close to beating. And then, you know, whatever happens on Sunday in UD Arena following week happens, you know? So I feel like Davidson is just kind of like in their own little world of the bracket, and they got a nice little draw. So that's kind of my first impression there. So awesome. Let's review our picks from the questionnaire that I gave you. So we're just going to start right off the bat here. Who's your champion? Anthony, who you got?
I'm riding with the team that I've been in love with since January. That's VCU. And the reason why I'm so confident in VCU is, first, we know that a one seed hasn't won the tournament in a decent amount of time. It doesn't happen that often. So I like them at 2 seed. Call me superstitious, even though I don't believe in superstitions. The other thing I'm going to say about VCU is this. When they beat St. Louis without Bones Highland, that was it. Wrap it up, put a bow on it. That's a team that's well-built, plays good defense, and without their best player, still went out and beat one of the better teams in the conference. We can talk about foul calls all day, but man, VCU is a well-built team. They have to be the favorite going into this.
Daniel, how about you?
I got to go with VCU as well. I've also been a believer in them since I watched their game in Sioux Falls on ESPN way back in like November. They just have the makeup of that annoying VCU team that just always finds a way to just beat you up and toss you around and beat you down. And as Anthony said, even without Bones Highland, they've proven they can still compete with anyone. And the thing we haven't mentioned yet is they get 2 true home games, assuming they advance, that is, where they would have a true home game against either Dayton or Rhode Island, and then in all likelihood Davidson or Mason GW Fordham in the semifinals. So they could realistically get to the A-10 finals playing true home games. And I think that really works out for them.
So my champion, I picked the St. Bonaventure Bonnies. And the reason why I did this was because VCU seemed too easy. Like right off the bat, I was like, oh, VCU, you know, hopefully they don't see Rhode Island. You know, they'll get Bones back and play Davidson. So like, yeah, they got a pretty easy trip to the final. However, I don't know. I like St. Bonaventure. I've been high on them too. I don't hate VCU. I just, you know, it's not even like a hate VCU kind of thing. Like, I really like their team. I like watching them. You know, and I honestly think they will get to the final at least. But I do like St. Bonaventure. I think today against Dayton was kind of a wake up call. Like, hello, this is a Thursday team. You know, they're a little bit down in the standings and they can come out and shock you. And just like Dayton, Richmond and Duquesne are going to be hungry. They know that their only way in is with a bid. And it's not saying that Bonaventure is not going to be hungry because they could lose their bid as well. So they know that they probably need a win on Friday to at least secure an at-large bid. And I think that goes a long way with this kind of tournament. Plus, in the current format, and never since 2013 with that St. Louis team, has the one seed won the A-10 tournament since 2013. So I think this is the year it gets it done. I thought it was the year Dayton was going to get it done last year. Obviously, you know what happened. So,
I think it would have been.
I got some people thinking St. Louis was going to pull it off with the third time around, but that's neither here nor there. But I don't know. I like St. Bonaventure. I like their draw. You know, Richmond and Duquesne, they haven't played Richmond this year, but Duquesne is interesting. I still like them against them. And then who knows against St. Louis, but I don't know. I like this team. They're a very veteran team. They do a lot of good things, and you know, the Dayton game was kind of a fluke, you know, because Dayton's kind of a weird team. But next question, who is your dark horse pick to win? Anthony, go ahead.
So I was kind of confused because dark horse to win versus Thursday team to make the championship, because I kind of have two Thursday teams, but I'm going to pick my dark horse. Here's my dark horse. And you're going to like this, Chris. It's okay. Dayton. It's Dayton. Well, yeah. Why? Why is it Dayton? Because they've beaten Davidson. They beat St. Louis twice and they've beaten St. Bonaventure tonight. And what does this all mean? It means that Dayton is capable of beating the best in the conference. If you can beat St. Bonaventure, if you can beat St. Louis, and now Davidson's a three seed, you can beat Davidson. I'm pretty confident in you as a team. Now, here's the one thing. They have to go through VCU. The one of the top four teams they have not beaten. They've lost to them twice. But kind of like in NFL football, when a divisional team sees an opponent twice and loses to them both times, you know what happens in the playoffs? They usually win, i.e. the Browns. So I'm thinking that kind of situation for you with Dayton. I'm thinking Dayton's going. They're a dark horse team. They got Jalen Crutcher. He's great. Book it.
Daniel, how about you?
You know, I got to change things up here a little bit, and I'm going to go with Davidson. I feel like they're the one team that everyone is not talking about. And statistically speaking, I think the three seed has the best win percentage of any seed line in the current format of the A-10 tournament. I'm not saying they're necessarily going to win it all, but I think they're a team worth paying attention to. I think that win against VCU really showed me a lot about them. And I talked about them on one of our last couple podcasts. I was like, look, if they just start getting a couple more shots to fall, they could really be a threat here. And I mean, look, I think they have a pretty decent draw against, as you said. I don't think Mason or GW or Forbes could be a problem for them. Realistically, look, I mean, I could see Davidson getting to the finals if Dayton upsets VCU, or if Rhode Island, frankly, upsets VCU. So I could just see that being that weird little pocket thing where they just sneak in there, almost a la 2018, how they just kind of quietly wormed their way into the finals and then just won it. So I could see it.
Daniel, you read my mind. So that is exactly why I had a dark horse pick to win and a Thursday team pick to win, because when I was sitting there making my picks, I said Davidson, and this was before the bracket released, and Davidson ended up being a three seed, you know? So I'm sitting here like, I don't think many people, or at least if you want to take a poll, don't think Davidson, at least out of the top four, right? Think Davidson is going to win this thing. So that's why I'm with Daniel. I think Davidson is kind of a dark horse here. I think they have a great draw, Fordham GW Mason. You get the winner of Rhode Island, Dayton, and VCU. They beat Rhode Island. They lost to Dayton in OT. So, you know, toss-up game. Or VCU, they beat already. And even though VCU did not have Bones Highland, you know, we know VCU is good without him anyway. They proved it against St. Louis, who, and St. Louis, I think we all agree, is a better team than Davidson. So I think, just like what you said, Davidson is a team that, you know, they're actually kind of consistent. You know, they have a great efficient offense. I think night in and night out, you know what you're going to get from them. Defensively, they're average, but they held their own against St. Bonaventure and VCU defensively. So kind of give me Davidson here as that dark horse. Plus, I mean, they got the double bye, so it's kind of a slam dunk dark horse pick. But moving on here to the pick your upset in the first game. And I got a couple questions on this one from our guys saying, you know, oh, it's kind of the same. They're kind of the same questions. Well, hold on. You could pick any of the Friday teams to lose their first game. Like, that's their first game. Technically, you could pick the Wednesday. Like, if you want to pick Fordham, go pick Fordham. You can have your choice of a couple Thursday games. You know, you can make a bold prediction saying, you know, what team's going to win Wednesday. That's going to upset. You know, I know that's a question later, but there's a multitude of ways you can go with this. Just got to think outside the box a little bit. And I had to do it as well. But I want to hear what you guys have to say first. What's your pick to be upset in the first game? How about you, Anthony?
So we don't have a lot of tension on this podcast. We have a lot of camaraderie and friendship. But I'm going to have to go against you guys. The upset is Davidson. The upset is Davidson because, Daniel, how can you sit on this podcast and not mention George Mason is on a hot streak? And they are playing well. And I'm a big believer in gaining momentum. Whoever, GW form, doesn't matter. One of those teams wins, plays Mason. Mason dunks all over them, gets a little momentum, shows up at Davidson, who's the weakest out of the top four seeds, who is the one team that doesn't have a leader, really, like a true number one. All those other teams, I can name the best player on that team. Davidson, they're more of like the cohesive unit. And I understand why you guys are saying it's an upset, but I think you're underestimating George Mason's abilities. And I think you're over-evaluating, I guess, Davidson, who we really haven't seen that much. They haven't played that many games. There was a major COVID pause where they got to escape playing pretty decent teams. I'm a little more skeptical on this Davidson team. They had the easiest conference in the A-10 by far. We've said this for many weeks, and they really should not be a dark horse. They should really be, what did we say? The first one out, the first seed or whatever, their first game losing. That's where I see Davidson.
Getting upset in their first game. Yeah. Hey, I like the disagreements because then we hear a lot more about, like, you know, what everyone's reasoning is. And I get it. You know, and I also think you kind of explained it too. Like, you know, they're the weakest out of the bunch, out of the top four, which is kind of why I think we agree on that. But I think that's why me and Daniel went that route for dark horse pick. But let's hear what Daniel has to say about his upset for their first game.
Well, first, I got a rebuttal to that.
Go, baby, go.
I really would love you to be right, Anthony. I would love so much for you to be right. I mean, look, if you'd have told me like a month ago that the two hottest teams entering the A-10 tournament would be St. Joe's and George Mason, I would have called you insane. I mean, there's no two ways about it. That said, Mason in the A-10 tournament has been a constant mess for years. It took them way too long to even win their very first A-10 tournament game. They finally made it to the quarterfinals, I think, once since they've been in the conference, and that was in 2018, I think, and they lost to UMass, I want to say. I mean, I would love you to be right, Anthony. I just need Mason to prove it. I mean, that's the thing. That's been the whole thing with Paulson is – this team is so capable. They have pieces. They could put it together. They could win games. They just haven't done it consistently. Granted, they might be starting to, but you'll have to forgive my skepticism in year six of Dave Paulson, where I just don't know yet. So that's why my pick for this is UMass. And I kind of alluded to it at the beginning of the podcast. I feel like it's kind of an obvious one. Would you call me crazy for saying St. Joe's could get to the quarterfinals? I mean, yeah, you had to hype up my team, I'll hype up yours. Like, I mean, St. Joe's has not lost since Ryan Daly has been back. I mean, seriously, St. Joe's was losing games badly, but it sure helps a hell of a lot when you add 30 points of offense with one guy back in your lineup. I mean, that helps a hell of a lot. So I could see it. I really could. I will say also, just for maximum chaos, it wouldn't shock me if LaSalle suddenly found another gear and also upset UMass, because they've shown the ability to this year. I really have a lot of questions about UMass. I really, really do.
Yeah, they're a really interesting team. You know, I don't know. I think UMass was probably like the most glaring pick. So I'm glad someone said it. Otherwise, I think we lose a little bit of credibility on this show. But yeah, UMass is definitely up there in the upset alert. So we're going to move on to I didn't give my pick. Excuse me. My pick is the Richmond Spiders. So look, an 8-9 matchup, obviously it's not really that big of a upset if the 9 beats an 8, right? But Richmond did beat Duquesne the first time, but they kind of had to pull it out. Duquesne has played a couple teams twice this year, and each time they've played them a little better. See Rhode Island twice, Dayton twice, even St. Bonaventure, even though they lost to them the second time, still a 3-point game. So Duquesne and Keith Dambrot over there, I feel like they're very good. He's a very good adjustment coach, and Duquesne is a very good adjustment team. And so with the way that first game went against Richmond, I kind of have them on upset alert. Plus, I mean, don't sleep on Duquesne either. They've seen the Bonnies twice, and they played them tough the second game in Pittsburgh. I think the Bonnies win, but don't be too shocked if the Dukes make it to Saturday. That's all I'll say. Let's move on to our Thursday team that has the best chance to win or even get to the championship. I think I wrote it as get to the championship, but like, I basically meant like, who do you think is going to win that can come from Thursday? Because the reigning champion, the St. Louis Billikens, were a 6 seed, and they weren't the only Thursday team to win. The other team, and I'm trying to make sure right now, is VCU. Back in 2015, they were the 5 seed. So it can happen. It has happened. I'm not going to go in and talk about Wednesday teams getting there because it's never happened. They've not gotten farther than Thursday. So let's talk about Anthony, who's your Thursday team that you think could win it all?
Once again, more contradiction is ensuing. I said Dayton was my dark horse because I was torn between two Thursday teams. So I just want to clarify that, I guess. Richmond. I mean, we said they had fallen from grace. They are probably a top four team. Yes, they lost today, but we gotta mention that Francis and Golden were out on injury. And while it's, you know, of course it's not easy and that's not an excuse for everything, it's worth noting that this team is better than a St. Joe's upset when they're fully healthy and fully rolling. And there's only one way to get to the tournament for them. And there's only one way for Mooney to save his job, to save his butt. And it's a run through the tournament and to win it all. And call me crazy, but a guy who's fighting for his job is going to do everything he can do to win games and get to the tournament as he promised at the beginning of the season. I'm taking Richmond. Hungry dogs have to eat. They run faster. Picking the Spiders.
Daniel, how about you?
I got to stick with what I was saying earlier. and what Anthony was saying earlier too, I really fear this Dayton team. I know they've been painfully consistent. That Fordham loss is not looking any better, nor is the LaSalle loss.
St. Joe's loss.
Well, that is looking a little bad.
Nor is the Duquesne loss. Nor is the Rhode Island loss. Nor is the shit they took from VCU. Like, let's just, I think that's it. So,
but got him going, Daniel.
I mean, but I saw a stat this week that was like, they're like 1-4 against the bottom of the conference, but they're like 8-3 against the top or some crazy bullshit like that.
Now 9-3. Yeah. Thank you.
Like, I mean, look, the advantage of Dayton getting a crap seed is they have to go through the top teams to get there. I mean, the other thing I've kind of had just in the back of my mind, going back to last March when the tournament was canceled, and Anthony Grant talked a little bit about it in the offseason and preparing for this season, does this Dayton team feel a little bit like they have something that they still have some unfinished business because they never got to compete last year in the A-10 and NCAA tournament? And I can't help but wonder if that's just something in the back of at least Jalen Crutcher's mind. Whether or not that comes from the coaching staff or not, I can't help but think a guy as competitive as Jalen Crutcher is not thinking, damn, we never got our shot last year. Let's do it this year. And I think for that reason alone, that Jalen Crutcher could literally will this Dayton team to the finals, and then they all of a sudden wind up with a home game in the A-10 finals. It's not crazy to think that Dayton could do it realistically.
So when I thought of this question, it was obviously because my pick for a dark horse was Davidson, which is a double bye team. People could also pick St. Louis because they also kind of have a tough path past St. Bonaventure again. So that's why I made people kind of think about that. But obviously, if you picked a dark horse as a Thursday team, that was going to be your overall winner. But because I have the opportunity now to pick a different team, of course I'm picking the Dayton Flyers. Gosh, I have to pick them sometime, right? Well, okay, guys. They lost to those terrible teams. Let's be real. But just like you talked about, they've beaten St. Louis twice. They've beaten St. Bonaventure. That second game again, they beat Davidson. That second game against VCU was a little more encouraging. You know, they're such a weird team, and I feel like if they can just get past Rhode Island, which they pretty much should have won that second game, right? Like, they were up 18, but obviously that's why you play all 40 or all 50 in their case, because of the two overtimes. But if they can get past Rhodey, and I don't know, this team, they're just so weird. And I don't know. I feel like with Davidson or George Mason standing in the way of their of an A-10 tournament final on their home floor, you know, that just sounds like a Hallmark movie waiting to be made. So of course I got to pick my Dayton Flyers here, but you know, I'm allowed to do that. It's my show. Last question though. Do you think any pillow fight team can get to Friday or beyond? If so, who would that be? Anthony, why is it St. Joe's?
So I actually used to believe it would be LaSalle until LaSalle. I mean, we're going to talk about LaSalle St. Joe's later in the show, but I am on the St. Joe's train. And one reason I'm on it is because it was just announced a couple minutes ago that Ryan Daly will not return to St. Joe's. This was from Josh Verlin of City of Basketball Love, which is a Philadelphia Big Five blog or whatever, or news site, but he's not returning. And so I think he's going to want to make a statement. And Taylor Funk is playing. I mean, I haven't given Taylor Funk enough credit in any of my columns. He's amazing. He's playing great. He's fit. He's thinner. He rolls to the basket, sets the screens, does everything you need, shoots the three. Taylor Funk, Ryan Daly, Cameron Brown turning it on. Ramir Moore playing solid defense. The game tonight against Richmond, the defense was great. They were switching like no problem, not clunky, playing really well, locking it down when it really mattered. They're beating Dayton, beating Richmond. They already beat LaSalle. They're going to beat LaSalle again and embarrass the goal of standard. St. Joe's is the hottest team in the Atlantic 10. There, I said it.
They do look good lately. I will say that. And they're not just like squeaking it out, even though LaSalle game was a squeak out. That's a big five game, you know, those are always like that. But they beat, they did squeak out against Richmond, I guess. But I mean, they showed Dayton like, holy moly. Daniel, how about you? Why is it GW?
I mean, I can't pick St. Joe's because Anthony already made their case. I cannot in good conscience pick Fordham. And I really don't think LaSalle gets past St. Joe's. So that gives me one option here. And look, I know people have been ragging on me. I talked about this last week. But also, I will say, I said on the show last Thursday night we recorded that they were going to get their shit kicked in at St. Bonaventure, and they did. And the reason for that was it was their third game in 6 days and their second game in 3 days with travel. So that said, I think GW could make it to Friday. And the reason being is I like their matchup against Fordham. They proved the first time they met them that they just hammered Fordham. Now, granted, it was Fordham's first game, but Fordham is basically back to square one again with their COVID pause. They lost their coach midway through the season. Fordham's just a mess right now, and I don't think Fordham has a prayer. And I will probably be wrong about that just to prove me wrong. And then I will say, like I mentioned about Mason, the jury is out about George Mason, the A-10 tournament. If George Washington comes out like they did in the first half of the game against Mason on this past Wednesday and just punches them in the mouth, hits their shots, defends like crazy, I could legitimately see them upsetting Mason and pulling that out. I mean, I know people are going to call me crazy, but I really could see it. I really, really could. And that might also be partially because I just don't have a lot of faith in Mason. I would love to be proven wrong about Mason. I really dearly would. But out of the three of those teams, I could see it being GW.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what you each were going to pick, so that's great. So the reason I put if so, who at the end, and it was also a yes or no question, is because I don't think so. And it's not thinking that these teams don't have what it takes or anything like that. It's really just because history is not on its side. No, I look back, and since the current format that was made in 2014, no pillow fight team has ever made it to Friday or beyond. So I know many are thinking St. Joe's due to the win streak. But I will also say the wins are against the 7th, 8th, and 12th seeded teams. They're not the cream of the crop. And I would really like for St. Joe's to have beaten a cream of the crop team, you know, like a Davidson or a SLU or whoever, but obviously they didn't get that opportunity. Nonetheless, the other one that's intriguing, like you said, is George Washington, just because, you know, they got Mason in the next round. So I could see that happening too. Just because also it is a COVID year. It's the craziest year of college basketball we have ever seen. So why not have a little bit of anarchy coming from our Wednesday night teams? But personally, I just don't see it this year just because of history. But yeah, that's our little preview, but we're going to move on to the pillow fight preview. So, because this will be released Tuesday morning, and the next time you'll hear from us is Thursday morning. So we're going to start with the round three of the Philadelphia rivalry of LaSalle and St. Joe's. Anthony, your pick is St. Joe's. So let's move on. No, I'm kidding. Why do you think it's St. Joe's?
So LaSalle's issue, because I think it's more about LaSalle's issues than it is about St. Joe's doing great things. LaSalle played heavy isolation basketball the other day against, they played against Mason. And heavy, heavy isolation. They had four assists for the entire game, and they all came from Jameer Brickus, who's a freshman. And a lot of fadeaway jumpers, a lot of on defense standing still, ball would be slow, like just go right across their face to a cutting George Mason player who's dunking it on them, and they're pointing fingers at one another. And all of a sudden, this team that was we're upsetting St. Louis and we're upsetting Dayton, they're just pointing fingers at each other, and they don't know what they're doing. And Sharif Kenny isn't getting any minutes or steady minutes. It's just it's a weird situation all of a sudden at LaSalle. They were building to do great things. And I don't know if it's Coach Ashley Howard is trying to change the strategy up, if he's trying to finally pick the players who he's going to roll with for the tournament. But this team feels very lost to me. On the other hand, St. Joe's, Billy Lang just got done a press interview where he said Ryan Daly's the best player in the conference. Now, I'm sure Bones Highland has something to say about that one. But this team has a little bit of bravado, is what I'm going to say. If you ever watch St. Joe's over the last three games, there's one thing that keeps happening in every game. They yell at their competition, literally screaming in guys' faces after they make buckets. Why is that important? These guys believe. These guys have heart. And Billy Lang, through all of the doubt and through all of the hardship, has these guys amped up, playing hard. And even after all those 14 and 15 losses, they still care and they still show up to win, even when people said it didn't matter. And so St. Joe's is a team that's on a mission. Ryan Daly's on a mission. And I couldn't be more excited. Sorry, I talked a really long time. I just know so much about these two teams. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you're the guy that we're going to go to when we have to talk about LaSalle St. Joe's, especially when they're playing each other in a tournament atmosphere. But Daniel, I know you said earlier that you think St. Joe's is going to win. What's your take on why the Hawks will beat the Explorers?
I mean, I'll just say I saw LaSalle up close on Wednesday because I was at Eagle Bank for the Mason LaSalle game. That was some bad basketball. I mean, I think Anthony hit the nail on the head. I mean, about Sharif Kenny especially. I mean, we talked a little bit about him both in our group chat and on the podcast and whatnot earlier in this season. He had a couple games where he looked like he was going to have a breakthrough, and then he just fell off a cliff. And I really feel like that's LaSalle's downfall, is that they don't have that one guy. He looked like he might be the one guy, and then he cannot see the floor. He just cannot get himself on the floor. So my gut tells me, though, that just because the A-10 is the A-10, I have to say there's a chance LaSalle wins. I'm going to pick St. Joe's, but also just all the hype around St. Joe's and everything, it wouldn't shock me if the A-10 just went full chaos mode once again and LaSalle pulled another rabbit out of their hat, which they have shown time and time again that they are capable of doing. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think LaSalle probably keeps it close. Maybe it goes to overtime. I will say, though, I do think out of the two games on Wednesday that LaSalle St. Joe's is by far the better of the two games.
Yeah. So Anthony made a great point that LaSalle looks lost, right? They're looking lost. They're not the same LaSalle as they were in the beginning of the year when they beat Dayton, Richmond, and St. Louis. That is exactly right where they want you. The LaSalle Explorers are going to win. And the only reason I kind of picked them, I was like, I love Ryan Daly. So like, I just hope he goes off. Like that's really it for St. Joe's. Like, cause I love Ryan Small. He's like the greatest, but the gold standard told me one time that I was an explorer at heart for betting LaSalle money line one time. And that just spoke to me. So now I have to root for LaSalle in this game. So.
You'd mentioned the goal of standard, boys. You're making a deal with the devil. That's all I'm going to say about those fellas. You can't be mixing with them. You got to be very careful. They're a dangerous crew.
They're a dangerous crew over there on Olney. Oh, boy. Let's get to the next game here before we conjure up an evil Tom Gola spirit or something. George Washington and Fordham. You know what, Daniel, go first. Why is GW winning? I mean, we can keep this short and sweet. I know what everyone's going to say kind of, but go ahead.
I mean, I nothing about this smells right for Fordham. I mean, for a recipe for winning. I mean, maybe you could have convinced me GW could lay an egg if Fordham hadn't just been on a 2-week plus COVID pause where they haven't gotten any practice. They haven't gotten any games. Nothing about this smells good for Fordham. And GW, I really have a lot of faith in them. They probably won't beat Mason. If I'm being realistic, they probably won't beat Mason. They're probably not going to be the first, you know, like we talked about earlier. But I do think that this GW team certainly will get at least one win down in Richmond, and it's going to be over the Fordham Rams. Sorry, Sam. He's our Fordham guy, but this is not Fordham's year.
It's not a lot of people's year. Anthony, what's your thought?
So I think COVID pause, pretty important. The more important thing about Fordham is there is no coach. Well, there's an interim coach, but is that the same as having the coach who recruited you, the coach who spent many years coaching you, the coach who, you know, spent all that time in the film room with you? I don't want to say anything wrong about the assistant. He's trying his best. He's doing his hardest. It's probably not easy for him either. It just adds to the point that Fordham's lost. They're coming off the COVID pause and they're kind of a ship without a leader. That's not a recipe for success ever. And so I think it's pretty clear that GW, they've won a couple games since there. They also had a long COVID pause. It's almost appropriate that these two teams are playing each other. But they've had a little bit more success off their pause. And so I'm going to ride with the hot hand, and you got to go with GW.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them too. And it's really, really funny because I think Fordham's first game of the year was off a COVID pause and they played GW and they lost by 25. So it's only fitting that Fordham comes off yet another COVID pause and plays GW yet again. So yeah, give me the Colonials. That's our pillow fight preview. We're going to end our final segment of the night with some trivia. And I'm really excited for this trivia question. It's going to take a little bit of thinking. I guarantee you, I'm not going to guarantee you. You guys are both really smart. So here's my question. There have been 43 Atlantic 10 tournaments in conference history. This year was supposed to be 45 if last year happened. How many regular season champions have won it? And that includes shared titles. Anthony, what's your guess?
It's probably not that many. And I'm going to make my guess before Daniel finishes his Google search for the answer. He's holding his hands up for those who aren't watching us right now because you can't watch us. I'm going to say out of the 40, what would you say? 44,
40, 43. This year will be 44.
I'm going to say 7. I don't think it's that many.
Daniel, how about you?
Well, see, my gut was telling me 8, but I feel like I should go lower just because Anthony said 7. And I'm trying to think of like what, if there's anything that comes to mind. St. Joe's in 04. I'm going to guess is one of them. They're not. Okay.
They didn't win.
Anthony's shaking his head at me. Cause I know that GW in 2006 didn't, cause they got bounced by Temple. So I'm just trying to think of at least one. I'm sure there's probably a couple. I'm going to go let's go with 4.
Is this like a Price is Right situation? Can't go over.
Gentlemen, there have been 19 out of 43, 19. And the only reason is because, well, there's a couple reasons. Number one, the conference used to be divided into divisions. So you were given, so basically that's a shared title, right? So now some teams are going to like, there's twice as much of a chance for a winner to win it, to win the A-10 tournament, than there is with just an outright winner like what we have today. One of those teams was George Washington back in 2005. The other thing is that UMass won it 5 years in a row when they won the A-10 5 years in a row. So there's another one. And I know Temple won it a couple times, and the last one was St. Louis. And plus back in the day, there was a couple of them. I think I had like West Virginia, maybe Villanova.
I think Rutgers had some in there too, I want to say.
Yeah, so it was a lot of older teams that have moved on to greener pastures. But 19. So still, you're kind of right. You were kind of in the right frame of mind thinking that, you know, it was kind of a smaller total. But there's a follow-up question. Current members to do that, to win the regular season and then win the A-10 tournament. There are four schools, and I've already named two of them. So go ahead.
Is it GW in 2005?
Yes, that is one.
You just said St. Louis.
That is two. Yeah.
St. Bonaventure?
No.
Is it any of the VCU ones?
No.
It's not Duquesne. Because they haven't been to the tournament since 1970.
Oh, UMass.
Yeah, UMass. They won it five times in a row. 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. They won the regular season and they won the conference tournament. Like they just balled out. But one more.
I'm going to say St. Joe's, but I know it's not the 04 season because I think they lost that year, the tournament.
You're correct, and you're correct. St. Joe's twice, Anthony, twice, 1997 and 1986. They won the regular season and the conference tournament. So, yeah, that's something to hang your hat on there. Both of you, of course, my team has won it on their home floor, but that is it. So that'll conclude our show. Before we go into our final thoughts, I just wanted to let you know to stick around. I have an interview with the Ram Report podcast guys of Ben Malikoff and Noah Fleischman. They are the guys from VCU, not the Rhody or Fordham Ram Report, but the VCU Ram Report. They've been out within the podcast world for a couple years, but they just got signed on to Get Trending Productions. So we're giving them a little pub, but these guys know a lot about VCU. Great interview. We talk all about them and they have large hopes. They attend tournament. We talk about Bones and all sorts of stuff. So stick around after our final thoughts, but we need to do those final thoughts before we can get to that interview. So Anthony, final thoughts.
So I'm actually going to do a plug for a piece that the three of us have written together, which is the Rookie of the Year argument. It's going to be a very interesting piece. Got one about, I'm not going to disclose who's in it, like the players we're writing about, but Daniel and Chris and I have come together, great minds coming together to write an excellent piece. And as a little background, I got in an argument on Twitter with Petey Buckets, who's friends with these two. And it was about Rookie of the Year. And so I kind of, as a little inspiration from that little Twitter argument, I would guess you'd call it an argument, really wasn't. It was one tweet. But I wanted to go out there and set the case for Rookie of the Year and why it's more than just three players. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be a good one.
Daniel, how about you? Your final thoughts?
So my final thought is I got to give a shout out to my guy, Mark LaFrance. He's the Mason SID and he's awesome. This was in his press release that he just sent out. Mason has earned a top seven seed in the A-10 tournament for the fourth time in the last five seasons. The number six seed is the team's second best in program history under Paulson, which their best is tied at two fifth place finishes in 18 and 19, which as weird as Mason has been for so many years and as underperforming, you could say they've been just terribly inconsistent. That's a pretty weird mark to hit that despite all that, they still wound up in sixth place again this year. So, hey, shout out to Mason for that.
I love it. Pub your guy. I like it. You didn't even give a shout out to the winners of the Atlantic 10 women's regular season title, Daniel. And I'm very appalled that you wouldn't do it.
I am so sorry, Chris.
Please do it. Give me some good in my fandom.
All right, here we go. The winners of the 2021 Atlantic 10 women's basketball regular season is the Dayton Flyers. They had a phenomenal regular season. They went, let me pull this up here. They were 12-1 in conference play. They won it outright by far. So they will be the number one seed in the Atlantic 10 women's basketball tournament. They will face either LaSalle or Duquesne in their first game, which is Friday, March 12th, also being held in Richmond, Virginia.
back to back.
They're fourth in 5 years.
They're fourth in 5 years. So yeah, Dynasty, Shauna Greene, Dynasty. She also just got her 100th career win at Dayton. So that's kind of awesome. So congrats to the ladies. That's awesome. Everyone I know just being at Dayton, I definitely went to a couple women's games. I was pulling for them my senior year. They went to the Elite Eight. So that was pretty cool too. So great job over there, Lady Flyers. But that's not my final thought. It's one of them. But my final thought is just thanks for an incredible season. Let's cap it off with an even better A10 tournament. So follow me at @not_privatepile. Follow Anthony on Twitter at @jelly_morelli. And then Daniel, I'm going to try and get it. N1A2V3Y4. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Very well done.
Yes, because I just had to remember that it was Navy and I'm an Army guy. So, but anyway, thanks for sticking around. After the music, you will hear the interview with Ben Malakoff and Noah Fleischman from the VCU Rem Report. Until then, we will see you later on this week for some recapping of some awesome, hopefully awesome, A10 tournament games. We will see you next time. Okay, we are now joined by the guys from the VCU podcast called The Ram Report. They're coming on with Get Trending Productions, which is a little company started out by Noah Goldberg and his guys. They signed us on a couple weeks ago for A10 Talk podcast, and now they're signing on The Ram Report with Ben Malakoff and Noah Fleischman. So I have these two guys here today. Guys, how are you doing? We'll start with you, Ben. How's it going?
Great, man. Thanks so much for having us on. I've loved the A10 Talk Twitter account, so it's an honor to be here.
Absolutely, man. Noah, how about you, man?
Hang in there. I mean, Saturday morning, nothing better. You know, talk some basketball and get ready for some tournament time coming up.
Absolutely. And you know that Noah's a partier because he thinks it's Saturday and it is really Sunday.
It's not Saturday.
Oops. It's all good. It's all good, man. You know, we're all hungover on A10 hoops.
He's forgetting the days of the week again. It's a problem.
So, gentlemen, we're going to start off just talking about your podcast. You know, we really have not, at least personally, I have not seen many VCU podcasts. You know, we have podcasts all over the league for every single team almost. You know, obviously the popular one is with Sully at Dayton. There's also ones with St. Bonaventure. There's ones with George Mason. There's one coming out with Davidson. And now we got you guys with VCU, with a very big fan base, very passionate fan base with VCU. So tell me about the podcast a little bit. How'd you get started? You know, just everything about this podcast.
Well, that's kind of exactly the reason we started in the first place. We recognized that there wasn't a lot of VCU podcast going on, you know, a lot of VCU audio material in the first place. So when Noah and I met my sophomore year, I believe, and his freshman year, when he came to VCU through the Student Media Center, this is kind of one of the things we discussed about and wanted to take advantage. It was actually funny because he joined the radio station at the time and I joined the Commonwealth Times. So it was kind of like we were working for each other in a sense, being me, the sports director of the station, and him, the sports editor of the station. So it started out as a collaboration between these two student media networks. So I guess that was 2 years ago for me, or 2 years ago now total. And we're in our third season of the podcast. And since then, we've just made it into a weekly show. Now we're getting guests on. We had Jimmy Martelli on from the VCU men's coaching staff earlier on the year, just trying to get, you know, as much recognition within the VCU community, but also the A10 community as well.
Cool. And then you guys, just to tell everyone what you do with VCU. So these guys are both students at VCU, but they do a lot of stuff with their studies as well as just with the sports program, just like play-by-play guys. They work with a student radio station. You're both like basically media majors in a sense. So tell us like about you guys. We'll start with Noah here just to get his feet wet after that Days of the Week blunder. Noah, tell everyone like just about you and how you came to be involved this much involved with VCU hoops.
Yeah, so I'm a junior right now, and I started covering VCU basketball my freshman year. I became the sports editor the second semester of my freshman year, kind of just took off from there. I started covering them really heavily during that semester. They went to the NCAA tournament. That was a fun experience to go to Columbia, South Carolina, and watch them unfortunately get taco-falled against UCF. But I mean, so I'm a junior. I've been covering them since my second semester, my freshman year. I'm a digital journalism major. So like otherwise known as like print, it would be like the usual term for that. And basically just been covering them ever since. And it's just been a fun time. And yeah, so I just write feature stories week to week, as well as game coverage and just little things throughout the semester as well.
I also joined the Student Media Center my freshman year, but I joined the radio station because I knew I wanted to go into sports broadcasting, specifically doing play-by-play. But I had no idea what type of opportunities VCU had within their school alone, and they don't. So I had to join the Student Media Center just to find those opportunities in the first place. And I believe it was about my second weekend, I joined the sports team and was finally scheduled to start broadcasting some men's basketball games and some women's games and some baseball games as well. So I got a ton of experience. And then I was lucky enough my freshman year to go to the A-10 tournament in Washington, D.C., where VCU played a very good Rhode Island team and lost in that first round there. But it was a great experience, and I've been in it ever since. I've joined the Commonwealth Times, writing some stories for NOAA as well. And, you know, just trying to do as much as I possibly can that's just within the sports journalism field, give myself as many opportunities as possible. But my passion still remains sports broadcasting.
Nice, nice. So, yeah, you guys are way more probably have way better resume than I do. If I ever had to provide a resume for anything like that, like I was an education major at Dayton. So like I would not have gotten a job anywhere. So that's awesome. You guys really seem to know your stuff. I've listened to your podcast a little bit. It sounds really good. And I think it's going to get even better here when you kind of get rolling here with Get Trending. Where can people listen to your podcast?
So Get Trending is actually going to start putting us across pretty much all streaming platforms. But at the moment, it's mainly on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, as well as on ESPN Richmond. So if you want to go to the Ram Report, if you just search up Ram Report on SoundCloud, it's one of the first things to pop up, or Ram Report on Apple Podcasts as well, one of the first things to pop up as well.
Cool. Awesome, guys. Basically, that's your podcast then. So let's go get into some VCU basketball here. Any of you can jump in at any time here, but how do you guys feel after the game against Davidson yesterday?
I mean, Davidson game was kind of something that I don't know you would say was expected, but at the same time, being shorthanded again for a second straight game, no Bones Highland, no Keyshawn Curry. He's dealing with a family emergency in Florida. And just being really lacking that guard depth. I mean, you're losing three guards that you started the year with Curry, Highland, and then Trey Clark, who transferred out in the middle of the year. So, I mean, when you're playing a game where you only have a lot of freshmen that are in most of the time, things will start to unravel. We saw against St. Louis, they actually held their own pretty well. But trying to do that back-to-back games against a really good Davidson team, and when Davidson can shoot over 50%, it's kind of been a long night. And that's kind of what happened yesterday. They didn't lose by as many points as I could have anticipated if you said Davidson's going to shoot over 50%, especially with losing Vince Williams to a sprained foot, I think, or ankle. So, I mean, definitely something that maybe would have been expected. I don't know. I think they held their own for the most part, though, playing a predominantly freshman lineup.
I think these past few games, we've learned a lot about this young team, especially without their star player in Bones Highland. We saw against St. Louis when they really needed to pull out a win. They were able to do that with their young guys, Ace Baldwin, Jameer Watkins. They all played fantastic. You go into a game against Davidson, you're just coming off a big win. You're still really high in the net rankings. You're seeing that you're being talked about as a top team right now. And, you know, things just don't work out the way, you know, bad shot selection, a lot of turnovers. We learned a lot about what these guys, you know, are trying to figure out about themselves still as the season ends here without Bones Highland, Vince Williams, or some part of that game. So even if the young guys didn't play their best game, me personally, I'm not expecting a St. Louis type of efficiency every game from guys who are just freshmen like Ace Baldwin and Jameer Watkins, guys who have to play 40 minutes. They're tired. It's been a long season. That was the last game of the regular season. So I think if there's any point to cut dudes like that some slack, it's that game. Now they got a week to restart. Guys have an opportunity to finally get healthy here 6 days before your next game. And it's the most important one of the season, being in the tournament.
Right. Yeah, you guys nailed it on the head. See, they know what they're talking about. Everyone, listen to your guys. But you know what's crazy is if you would have thought that VCU was going to beat St. Louis without Bones Highland, I would have probably called you crazy. just because we saw how important he is to your team. So did you guys expect to beat St. Louis at all?
I mean, in that game, I went into it thinking if Ace Baldwin has his best game of his career, there's a shot. And after the game, that's exactly what Mike Rhodes said. He said it was his best game of his career. I mean, he may not score the most points a game. There's been a couple games where he doesn't score any points, right? He is the guy that makes it happen, though, on the offensive side. And he ended up scoring 12 points. I think he only had two turnovers. He played all 40 minutes as a freshman against St. Louis, a really good team. And he only had one foul. So, I mean, if you think about that, a freshman who came in, played like a senior point guard, I think that was the only way that they were going to win the game. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, going into that game, we knew we didn't have Bones Highland, but we also knew that wasn't the same St. Louis team it was a month ago when they were nationally ranked as high as 22 at one point, right? It was a bit of a different team. They were still very good, and it was going to be a very tough game for VCU. But exactly like Noah said, if you have guys like Ace Baldwin playing at the level that they've been playing all season long, Jameer Watkins getting better every single game, then you stand a chance. And you know, we all know that Bones Highland gets the VCU offense started. When he hits a deep three at some random point of the game, VCU usually ends up going on some large run that propels them to a victory at the end of the day. Without that, it's hard for VCU. But you also have to remember that VCU is a team that prides themselves on a very efficient defense as well. I believe they're top 20 in the KenPom adjusted defense right now. So one thing that they had to do and needed to do against St. Louis was just stay in the game defensively, you know, hold St. Louis, Hassan French, Javante Perkins, all those guys to just a, you know, just some, you know, a level where they can contain them. And that's what they did to stay in it. And at the end of the game, they were able to just pull it out.
Yeah, I was very shocked. I'm not gonna lie. I bet St. Louis to cover in that game. I was very impressed. Like I wasn't even like mad I lost that bet. I was just like very impressed by VCU to just come out and win that game, which is kind of weird. I thought they kind of would beat this Davidson team pretty easily, but it ended up being kind of tough. But after those two games and just thinking about the whole season in general. What's the feeling about this team's at-large chances now? Are you sure you're getting in, or do you think you could be, left out a little bit or kind of shafted to the first four?
I think if you look back at this season, right, their biggest win is either St. Louis or Utah State. I mean, Utah State win is looking pretty well good right now. They're one of the top teams out there on the West Coast. But I think that their odds of getting in are pretty high, right? They've proved themselves that they can win. They're undefeated in quad two. They only have one quad one, if that win. I mean, that's the only thing that hurts them, right? They don't have really that many quad one wins. They had a quad one opportunity yesterday, possibly, but Davidson wouldn't have moved into quad one at that point. But I think that overall, they have a really good shot getting in. I think that it's something that they've shown that they can win games just being undefeated in the quad two, even though they have two quad three losses. I still don't think that's a big hurt. If they just win a game or two in the A-10 tournament, I think that'll be enough to really solidify them into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Lenardi has this team right now is out in, or the first four byes in the NCAA tournament. And that's what I've been seeing it for the past week, even after this loss to Davidson as well. So it's actually funny. I was just talking about this to Noah last night after VCU lost the game. I said, what does this do for our chances? And I think that VCU still has I think it's still a pretty good chance, pretty good shot that VCU gets an at-large bid. I don't think last night's loss hurts their chances at all. I would, at this point, I would be surprised, very surprised, if VCU does not get an at-large bid.
You know what's crazy is, so I graduated Dayton in 2015, right? And that was the year that Dayton went and played in the first four in their home gym, okay? And that year, we thought, and from what Lenardi projected, what a lot of brackets projected, was Dayton was getting in no matter what. I mean, that was the year they won. They beat VCU at the Siegel Center, and VCU was ranked. Like, we were like, that win pretty much, we stapled that to the table and said, that's how we get in, right? We ended up being the last team in the tournament. Like, we were the last team. And yet, every single projection was out there that we were getting in. I think we had, like, one quad four loss or one quad three loss or something like that. I don't even think we had the quadrants back then even. But, like, still, we had, like, one bad loss in the year. So, like, I don't know. I agree with you. I think VCU should, like, it would be very shocking to not get in. But we've seen this league get, you know, kind of the butt end of a bid or not at all, like St. Bonaventure in 2016. So now that I told you that, are you scared?
Well, it's a great point. I mean, there's nothing solidified for sure. There's still a chance that they don't get an at-large bid. And, you know, with being the A-10 how it is, anything could happen, right? It's in the back of my head. VCU could get snubbed. There are one of, if there's any teams, there's like a bubble of teams right there. And VCU is in that bubble of, you know, potentially get snubbed. But once again, I would still be surprised if they didn't receive the at-large bid.
You know, the way to, I guess, avoid getting snubbed is just winning the A-10 tournament, right? That's my mindset every year when this time of the year comes around and people talk about at-large and being on the bubble. And it's like, if you really want to solidify your spot, go win the tournament, right? And I definitely think that VCU, if they just get a game or two in, they'll be fine.
Yeah. So great segue here. A-10 tournament. So the Rams locked up a 2 seed as of yesterday, even though they didn't win, because St. Bonaventure won the conference outright. 2 seeds, not bad at all. Plus, you know, most times in the A-10, if you finish second in the conference, you're probably going to make the tournament. But right now you guys, or VCU, are slated to play the winner. If this is how it shakes out, which it'll probably change, the winner of St. Louis and Rhode Island, because that's the 7-10 matchup. So how do you feel about that if you played either of those teams?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that helps is you're playing at home, right? Either at Siegel or at Richmond. We don't know where that game will be played yet. They haven't announced the location for the quarterfinal game. Semifinal we played at VCU. But if you look at it, Rhode Island's a team that VCU struggles with a lot. They beat them at Rhode Island for the first time in 5 years this year. They lost at home to Rhode Island. So that's not a team you want to face in the A-10 tournament. They faced them a couple times before and they've lost, I think, every time in the tournament. And then you play a team like St. Louis and it's like you squeaked out a win. That's something that I think Coach Rhodes wants to see, is see them again, because they have the confidence of, hey, we beat them without Bone Thailand. We beat them just straight up at VCU. So I think if any team that VCU wants to see, it's probably St. Louis. I might sound a little crazy, but it's definitely probably St. Louis over this Rhode Island team, because VCU, for whatever reason, just struggles against the Rams of Rhode Island just every year.
You know, I could not agree more with that. I do not want to see Rhode Island in the A-10 tournament. Please do not make VCU play them, because like I said, my freshman year, my first memory of VCU being, going to an A-10 tournament in DC, VCU lost to Rhode Island. Then just 2 years ago, had a horrible game against Rhode Island in the A-10 tournament, second round. Marcus Evans went down with an injury. Most VCU fans remember that as just a traumatic experience. VCU losing after that great that great run, you know, still getting an NCAA at large bid that year, but losing to Rhode Island in the A-10 tournament. So it's just Rhode Island is just the kryptonite. I think before VCU beat them at URI's place earlier this year. It was the last 9 out of 10 games they lost to him, right, Noah? So it was just any other team at this point in the A-10 I would rather play than Rhode Island in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to play a team that I struggle with either. So basically for my team, that's like every single team in the entire Atlantic 10, right? Or anyone in the pillow fight. Yeah, it's been a rough year. But other than that, you know, what's funny is you're looking at the bracket and VCU would get, you know, like we talked about St. Louis or Rhode Island if it ended today. But if they get past that Friday game, and I'm just checking to make sure right now, they would play, you know, either a 3 seed or a 6 seed, or God forbid if 11 or 14 even play, you know, if they get that far. So in the 11 and 14 is right now George Washington and Fordham, and Fordham is expected to play. I guess they're already in Richmond for, I guess, I don't know, because like the Bronx is like not a cool place for COVID. And the number 6 seed, if I'm looking correctly, is the George Mason Patriots, who you lost to. And then the 3 seed right now is UMass, right? So that's kind of that. it's so funny, like it gets easier down the road, but obviously the final would be tough. But yeah, I don't want to go too much into that bracket just because like we have absolutely no idea. We got today with I think Richmond St. Joe's plays today, right? And then we also have Dayton and Bonaventure. I know SLU and UMass still have to play, and that could be a game for the top four. So who knows? Down the road though, we'll definitely it'll be interesting to see who the Rams get for their Friday night game. But talking back about the NCAA tournament here, Lenardi has you guys as a 10 seed, which I think is pretty comfortable. I've also seen that bracket matrix, and I wanted to just check really quick right now. Bracket matrix, which is like my bread and butter, has you guys also as a 10 seed. So I think you guys, you know, could lose and still probably get in. But a 10 seed, Lenardi has you against BYU, and then the winner would play Illinois or, you know, a one big team that doesn't really matter unless they a 15 seed does that doesn't matter unless they get to, they beat the 2 seed, right? So does like a team like Illinois or a team like BYU, like, is that a matchup nightmare for VCU, or do you like that kind of a matchup?
I'm not totally scared of those types of matchups. You know, I have a lot of trust in VCU's big man. You have, you know, Levi Stockard, who has a lot of, Final Four, but tournament experience. He was in a Sweet 16 with Kansas State. Now, overall, there isn't a lot of tournament experience on this team. You know, it's a very young team as well. But, you know, if VCU is getting healthy during the A-10 tournament and leading up to the NCAA tournament, if you're getting Bones Highland and Vince Williams back, you know, I'm very confident in what this team can do, even with, you know, looking a little bit smaller.
Yeah, VCU is a team that can be hot at certain times of the year and can be ice cold if you saw your say against Davidson. I mean, they had a 16 win streak going this season, just being a young team. So, I mean, if you get to the NCAA tournament, right, you're a young team, you have 8 freshmen and sophomores, right? They had 9, but 1 left. So you have 8 total freshmen and sophomores on the team. They've not been in the situation before of playing in a big-time game and playing for a season. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch this week again when they play in the A-10 tournament to see how they play with their backs against the wall, saying, if you don't win, you're going home. And that'll be a good sign, I guess, or benchmark to see how they'll play in the NCAA tournament, obviously against a lot better competition, but at the same time, we've never seen them play with their backs against the wall. Like this is a team that plays super loose. They're all young. They don't care. The expectation was to finish 9th. They finished 2nd. So, I mean, that should pretty much tell everyone what they need to know about. This is a team that doesn't care about their rankings. They don't care about what seed they are. They just go out there and play basketball. And that's the thing that they do best.
Yeah, well, and we'll see also how they react. Like you're saying, with their backs against the walls, they'll have that opportunity in the A-10 tournament. And if they get in that large bid, they'll have that opportunity once again in the NCAA. So we'll get an early first look about how this team handles adversity like that, and, you know, potentially a season-ending game, next, as early as next week.
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in this VCU team. It's kind of crazy. I actually really, being a Dayton fan, you know, I'm not supposed to say nice things about VCU, but I really like this team. They're very VCU-esque, right? But they finally have like a scorer, right? It's always been this niche about VCU that like they're gonna play lockdown defense, but they might not score a lot, and they're gonna rely on their defense and turnovers to score. Well, now you guys like have this scorer, and you guys can score without him, like you proved it. So I think they're a very deep team, very underrated. It seems like they've had to prove themselves like every single game this year, just by the opponents they've played, getting those wins over Memphis and Utah State, which, I mean, they aren't that great, but like that down the road, you know, they handled some very like underrated competition in the non-con. You know, they beat Dayton twice. They beat St. Louis. They beat Richmond. Like, it just, you know, they really don't have to prove that much more to me. would you guys, last thing here, would you guys come out to Indy to see the Rams if you get credentials, like if you guys get to the tournament, or are you guys getting credentials to A-10 tournament and stuff?
Yeah, we'll definitely be at the A-10 tournament. And as far as the NCAA tournament goes, if VCU gets an at-large bid, or, you know, gets the automatic bid, then I definitely plan to be there. I will, especially my senior year, I don't want to miss it.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you missed out on coming 2 years ago when they played in South Carolina. But, yeah, I mean, we'll be there. It's a 9-hour drive, I think. We looked it up from here to Indy. I think driving would be a fun time. But, yeah, we'll definitely be at the A-10 tournament. It helps it this year being in Richmond, so it's a lot easier to get to. I mean, we've gone in the past to Brooklyn and places like that. So, definitely we'll be at both. If VCU's playing, you'll count on us being there.
Will the A-10 talk be at the A-10 tournament?
Yeah. So it's a little bit murky right now because we normally get about 4 credentials, right? So we send like a team over there. But this year, I don't know what's going to happen because, like, obviously the A-10 released, SID released like the details about who gets credentials and blah, blah, blah with all the COVID protocols, which is right thing to do. Right. And we don't know where we categorize in that email. So we're trying to figure out who's going, but, I know we have a guy. I mean, I know we have a guy that goes to, University of Richmond who will be there. I know we have a VCU guy in Jason Bowman who will be there. Jason. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. You know, Jason.
Oh yeah, of course. Love Jason. He worked at WVCW with him.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, he'll be there. Cause he's our like official A-10 talk writer. We might have a guy from St. Joe's there. I think we're gonna have a guy from Mason there. So if we can get credentials for all these guys, maybe a guy from UMass. So we'll get everyone there. And then I live in Indy, so I'm the guy that'll show up. So if you guys end up coming out to Indy, you hit me up. I'll take you to all the spots. I know where they're all at. But where can we find you if like guys want to interact with you? Like, do you guys have a Ram Report Twitter that can shit post, or do you guys just shit post off your own accounts?
We use our personal accounts. We never made a Ram Report Twitter. I'm at Real Ben Malikoff, at Noah Fleischman Noah.
Fleischman, I think it's underscore Noah. I think there's
Fleischman, underscore Noah. Very yeah. Specific. At Real Ben Malikoff for me. Yeah. we just do a lot of that work on our own Twitter accounts.
Gotcha. So if you see, yeah, if you want to follow these guys, like, you know, or not if you, you guys should follow those guys, especially VCU fans. They're kind of the only VCU podcast out there. So definitely give them a follow. But gentlemen, it's been a pleasure getting to know you guys. We're going to keep in touch in the future so we can talk VCU hoops, especially at large tournament. I might bring you guys on, maybe bring Jason on as well, and we'll just hash it out with where you guys end up in the tournament.
All
All right.
Thanks so much for having us on, Chris. It's been an absolute pleasure as well.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. See ya.